The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hello, Doug Mellard.
Hey, hey, Doug Benson.
How's it going, man?
Great. How you doing?
I'm doing good. We've got a sort of a Doug coming in today.
Right? How do you define it, sort of?
Well, I mean, tell us who it is.
DJ Doug Pound in the house.
Yeah, so, I mean, Doug Pound's like, we'll ask him, but that's just like a made-up name, right?
I mean, I believe he's a real Doug.
He's really Doug. He just added a G and a pound and a DJ, and the career was born.
Yeah, but we can confirm everything.
Yeah, and then also joining us today is a comedian, very funny comedian named Laura Bites. And it's her first time on any of my podcasts, so it'll be nice to talk to her. And unless you've got anything else to add, Doug, I say we get this thing going.
Let's get it going.
Go. We have it. There's the theme song, and we're back for another look at the very wide world of Dougs.
That's right.
Yeah, and joining us today are two people that have the two of you met each other before?
No.
Well, let's make an introduction, and I got to make sure I'm saying this right. It's Laura Bites, right?
Yeah, Laura Bites. Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here and helping us out with some drops today is DJ Doug Pound.
What's up, guys?
Hello.
I will use the drops sparingly. I won't. I will try to use them tastefully.
It's just fun. I love drops, and I'm so impressed with like Howard Stern or whoever, when the drops happen and they're the ability they have to like ignore them and just keep going is really impressive to me. I mean, I guess it's something you get used to, but I never get used to it. I always stop and go, wow, that was cool. But, so how did you come up with, your name is Doug Lusenhop, correct?
Correct.
And how did you, how and when did you become DJ Doug Pound?
Well, when you got your first email, like in the 90s, everyone would have some kind of like jokey name. It wouldn't just be like their name. It would be like something silly at hotmail.com.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that there's like a rap group, Dog Pound or something. And I said, how about Doug Pound? And then people started calling me that based on my email. And then after that, I got into like DJing and stuff. And then that was just my nickname, I guess.
That's perfect. You already had a DJ name unknowingly.
Yeah.
And you were ready to go. And how long ago how long have you been DJ Doug Pound?
Well, probably since around 2002 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
All right. Yeah, so it's been a minute.
Yeah, but then I mean, I was not doing comedy, and then I did that. That was just being a DJ, you know, like at my friends' parties in Chicago. And then when I got into comedy after that, then I put the DJ and the comedy together, and I still DJ Doug Pound, you know, the name stuck.
Yeah. The word Doug's pretty comical, so you don't need to change it for comedy purposes.
Yeah. It does already set up a kind of a humorous, like, it's so amazing. The more, you know, research I do into this and the more I pay attention to it, it really is like in a movie or a TV show, someone is named Doug because that's already makes them funny. Like, it's already, like, you know, leaning towards humor when a character walks in like, oh, Doug's here.
Yeah.
Yeah. We lucked out, guys.
Yeah. That's a great way to look at it, Doug. Is that it's lucky that that's the case. Now, Laura, not only does your name Bites look written down, like, I'm sure people say Beats all the time.
They do, if I'm lucky. Yeah. I'm still embarrassed by my name, and I'm so grown up, and I just, like, never got used to it.
And there's worse ones than just saying Beats or, Bites is correct. Beats would be wrong. But how much worse can it get?
It can't get worse. Doug, thank you for asking. It can't get any worse. It's Laura Bites, and I, like, had to call some, I'm like, who did I call? Like, the refrigerator maintenance company or something yesterday. And I always want them to say it wrong so that I can be like, yes, that's it. But then they'll be like, and what's your last name? Just pronounce that for me. I'm like, it's Laura Bites.
But then also L-A-R-A, Laura, must get, you know, butchered as well.
Yeah, it does.
But it's like so many opportunities. Like Doug Benson, the person has virtually no opportunities to say any of it wrong.
Must be nice.
It is, but it's also, I mean, I'm not going to say it's boring because correcting people all the time must be aggravating. But it's still, your name isn't boring. That's the important thing.
I have a question for the fellow Dougs real quick.
Was that someone else's computer that just said auto shutdown enabled, press power to cancel?
No.
Oh, shit.
I didn't hear that.
What is happening?
It might be just because, you know, sometimes when we have someone who isn't named Doug on the show, I think there's safety measures taking place to stop that. Doug has a question for Doug's.
Yes, I have a question for Doug's. Do you ever, are you at, like, say, a restaurant and, you know, it's a restaurant where the people that are working there, English isn't their first language, and they're like, what's the name? And you say Doug, and then they think it's dog, or they don't know what you're saying. Hey, so then you say, then you go full Doug. I go full Douglas when I'm at a English second language establishment. Then they know that. But
they do.
Doug is always like a confusing moment, and I save the trouble and I go full Douglas.
Full Douglas.
Yeah. See, that's I've never gone full Douglas because I've just never been comfortable saying my name is Douglas, you know. I've just never gone by that. So it's, you know, every once in a while, like with Postmates or something, I'll just go ahead and say it, you know, to save some trouble.
I've definitely also, like, in crowded, like, bars, if you yell your name and they're like, they can't understand it, I'll say Douglas sometimes.
Yeah, one syllable names are the best.
Yeah.
We can all agree. Sorry, Laura.
No, it's okay. Looking at you guys' names in the participants pane here, looking at three Dougs for a while, the name Doug makes no sense to me anymore. It looks absolutely ridiculous. It's the weirdest thing.
It really is a silly, it doesn't add up to anything. And then that's the other thing, when they have to write down your name in a non-English speaking establishment, they cannot stop themselves from adding an H.
Yeah.
Joe. They write down Dental, and I don't know where that comes from either. But well, I feel racist being upset by it though.
They can't take it. They're like Doug, and then that's it. What are you talking about? They got to put something else.
Yeah. I don't look forward to if they have to announce when the food is ready, because there is a chance they're gonna.
I've gotten the dough before.
Yeah.
Dough. Maybe they're thinking of it as doff, like cough.
Well, that's a really weird one. Like, there's a street in what city has Gough Street? G-O-U-G-H. And I always thought it was Go Street, but they do pronounce it Gough.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Where
learned
is
something
that?
Every day. DJ Doug Pound, have you ever thought of being DJ Doe Pound?
No, I have not. It's never too late to change, you know?
Well, especially if you want to like DJ and like also maybe be like a chef or make pizzas or something. Cause
I mean, yeah, the pieces already look like records, and there's something there. There's something to it.
They call them licorice pizzas.
I think so. I think there is.
You could team up with Pillsbury.
What?
You could team up with Pillsbury.
To make licorice pizza?
No, the Pillsbury Doughboy and DJ Dough Pound.
I could be the Pillsbury Doug Boy.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
I would take that gig.
Just cancel
my entire creative career and just be the spokesman for Pillsbury for like lots of money.
Licorice pizza sounds like something that an 8-year-old would promise the country if he was running for president.
That was the cool record store near my home when I was in high school. There was a place called Licorice Pizza, and of course that went out of business because that's just confusing.
Yeah. Like black licorice? I mean, black licorice pizza sounds bad, but like the red Twizzler style licorice sounds good. So
you eat a whole pizza of red Twizzler licorice?
Before I would do black licorice, yeah.
Some people are really down on black licorice, but I enjoy it. So I might, if they made a record album that was made entirely of black licorice, I'd consider eating that.
I'm not hating on it. It's just not my flavor. It's like medicinal, something you eat when you're sick.
That's what's great about licorice is those multiple flavors. And also, have you ever had grapevines?
No,
grapevines
awesome.
Are good.
They're so good. They're purple licorice. They taste like purple.
You guys ever have the apple ones? The apple straws?
Oh, yeah. They're like sour, kind of.
Yeah, those are good, huh?
Those
My
are
mouth
really
is
good.
Filling up with saliva, even remembering those.
I know. I want some gummies.
those things are tasty.
Hell
for
yeah.
Sure.
Somebody should replace spaghetti with the rope style licorice and make a dessert like that. How come no one's thought of that yet?
It's a great idea. It's $1 million idea.
But what would the sauce be? It would be like white. So it'd be like inverse. So like the pasta is red and then the sauce would be like whipped cream.
Yeah. Whipped cream.
Oof.
Is whipped cream good on licorice?
I'm just thinking of something sweet that looks like white. So that was my first maybe.
Vanilla ice cream. That couldn't be bad, right?
If they made that, it would make a big news story and it would be a big hit. That's my guess.
Yeah.
I think it would be a news story but I think people would immediately figure out that they don't want to eat licorice on a plate. like with a knife and fork, and then now you're just eating licorice, so you might as well just get it in its normal shape.
Yeah, but for a week it would be selling like hotcakes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, well, don't get me started about licorice flavored hotcakes. Those would
too
really
late for that.
Really,
I feel like
really
you
good.
Could put some licorice in pancakes without ruffling too many feathers. I feel like people would be on board for that. I'd check it out.
Well, that's what I was just thinking is you don't see or hear of licorice like as a mix-in at Cold Stone Creamery.
Right.
It's not a candy that they put into ice cream, so I feel like that there's a reason. Like it wouldn't be good, or maybe the red licorice would just, it would make the ice cream all red, and then it just looked like you're eating a scoop of blood.
No, that would be cool.
Wait, what about nibs? Remember nibs?
Hell yeah.
I do, and we're not allowed to say that anymore.
That could be the best. That could be my top licorice form. Yeah, something about the texture. They were like solid. The Twizzlers are hollow. Yeah. And you could put a couple nibs in some ice cream and I wouldn't be mad at that. I think it's about the amount. It has to be a little like flourish, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to go crazy with it. You guys ever drink soda through a piece of licorice? You haven't lived until you have.
Yeah, that's a classic. You take a red vine at the movies and you bite off each end. And then you not only have a straw that's all natural and tastes good, but also when the cold beverage goes through it, it turns really hard.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
It turns into a hard thing that you can sort of bite on or whatever.
Man, this podcast has never made me hungry before. But now
yeah, I
experiment with so many things.
I save all this for my food podcast normally, but you know, we haven't been doing that one lately, so here we are. Let's start with Laura and talk about how many times have you been, you know, let's say friends with or fairly close to someone named Doug in your life?
Yeah. I have an uncle, Doug. And
whoa.
Yeah. Hell yeah. He's awesome. And I have a friend.
Hang on. Let's talk about Uncle Doug for a second.
Yeah.
Because I've been called that in my lifetime a bunch of, you know.
I'm an Uncle Doug too.
Yeah.
I assumed everyone had an Uncle Doug.
I don't, but maybe that's because, you know, I'm the only Doug in my extended family. I wasn't named after anybody. But what does Uncle Doug do for a living?
He worked for UPS. I believe he's retired.
Oh, okay. That's interesting because, you know, Doug on King of Queens, played by Kevin James, he was a UPS driver, wasn't he?
Yeah. What if I was just making it up and I was making up my Uncle Doug, and the more you asked me about him, the more it became obvious that I'm just talking about Kevin James's character on The King of Queens. Well, like, yeah, he's like married to a skinny lady. She's really pretty. He's fat.
Is she a Scientologist?
No, I don't believe so. Although it's been a while since we caught up, so God only knows.
Wait, now which one are we talking about? I'm talking about the fictional one.
I'm talking about my real life one, but it's true of the fictional one as well.
Leah Remini was in, it was a Leah Remini reference that she was in Scientology and, but now she's out and proud, you know, telling people that Scientology sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My roommates watched that documentary. It sounded really fucked up.
yeah, it's Scientology is a weird thing, and they're very, 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 very rich, and they don't pay taxes because it's a religion. So that's where that's at. I don't know why that's not being stopped, but it still continues. They continue to sock away more money, and they have more buildings. Like driving around LA, there's so many buildings that Scientology owns. It's very, very strange. But where does Uncle Doug live?
Uncle Doug lives in Spencer, Iowa. I wish I hadn't been that specific. He's probably the only Doug in Spencer, Iowa, and I may have just put him in danger. But I leave my Uncle Doug alone. Yeah, that's where he lives. I just gave you so much specific information about him. I really hope he's not listening to this.
Rowdy fans.
Yeah, we got fans that are gonna go take care of Doug. sorry about that. I apologize in advance. No, I was just wondering mostly because, so he's a very hardy, sturdy individual because he was delivering stuff during, you know, the winters there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got to suck.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. So,
I'm sorry. Yes, he did. He had to work Christmases a lot. He had to work a lot of holidays. Lots of snow. Yeah,
that's right. They have to deliver stuff, or you know, people need their packages at holiday time.
Yeah.
So there's even more work in tougher conditions.
Yeah.
So shout out to, I'm glad he's retired. Good for him.
Yeah, there's a lot of snow. I remember I one time had to stay at his house for like an extra week on Christmas break. I couldn't go back to school because there were blizzards and we couldn't drive back to Wisconsin.
Oh, good God. I got stuck in at the Skyline in Wisconsin for the same reason one time.
Oh, no.
Stayed in the comedy condo for an extra 3 days because you couldn't leave. It was insane.
What did you do for those 3 days? Did you get out of the condo?
They had a VHS. I was with Matt Fulcher on, and they had a VHS of the movie Punchline, so we watched that a few times.
A few times.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. We could walk to like a gas station to get like Subway or something. It was
I'm completely picturing that walk right now because I did it. Right? I stayed at that condo. I made that walk. So then before you left that condo, did you make sure to wash all of the dishes and change the sheets and all that stuff that they have signs all over the condo telling you to do that stuff?
I always take care of stuff because you want people to take care of it before you. So, yeah.
Well, they have it's kind of like a hotel. They hire someone to clean in between. But this guy was very in your face about cleaning as you go. In a way that I don't need a sign in every room of the apartment telling me what I need to clean.
Right.
I always do it when I get there because it's revolting and I can't sleep until I do. I have to like scrub the entire bathtub and like everything. I've gotten and like changed the sheets before and I'm like, oh, these are just different sheets with like a ton of hair in them and there's like no washer.
Oh,
ooey.
Yeah, that's amazing. The concept of the comedy condo and how each one had different levels of how much cleaning they would do in between in between comedians.
What's the worst one you've been to?
That
comes to mind because I have one.
Great question.
I have it in my mind, but I don't want to say it because I'll probably go back.
You want to work there again?
Yeah, I want to work there again.
And you think the people that run that club don't know they have a shitty condo?
They don't know that I said they did. Right.
Maybe you can describe the condo without naming names.
Yeah.
I like that.
I mean, pubes everywhere. It's just insane. It's just insane.
How does that, I mean, I don't think, I've stayed in a lot of places and I'm pretty sure I don't leave pubes behind.
You know, and it wasn't just pubes. It was a lot of different hair from a lot of different people, different textures, lengths.
Different body parts.
Colors. Yeah, I'm like, it was very much telling me the story of sheets that were not washed.
Oh my God.
It was repulsive.
That's horrific.
But you do want to work there again.
You bet I do. Yep. Yeah. When things turn back up. Absolutely. I'll be sending those emails.
All right. So
you just got to bring your own sheets next time, I guess.
You're damn right. I have to bring my own sheets next time.
Not a terrible idea.
I was at one that was, I'll name the name because I don't know if I'll ever, I don't even know if it exists anymore, but it was like in Seattle, the Comedy Underground.
Ooh.
Yeah,
it's nice.
I think it still exists I don't know. Cause it's so hard to know if COVID was the final blow to it.
Right.
I worked there last year though.
This was a while ago.
Yeah. I bet you they have a new condo.
It was quite a while ago, but I remember it was like, they had a party in it the night before or something. There's like literally broken glass on the floor, like a smashed bottle. Like nobody came through and even like did a quick, like even a little, they didn't even try to like make it seem like they looked at it or cleaned it up. But
there's a body.
The broken glass. We just had to keep our shoes on and sleep fully clothed.
Oh my gosh.
Oh God. Yeah. I had one where I showed up and when I got there, I had the key, I get in, you go to make your pick of the room sometimes. And I like look in each room and I open this one door and there's a woman sleeping in the bed, but there's not supposed to be anybody there yet. And so I yell, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I run out, I call the club and then they say, no, that's so-and-so. She lives there. And I was like, oh, I just have a random roommate, which you do sometimes with other comics, but not necessarily just random people. And they're like, oh, she's cool. And I'm like, okay. And there were pizza boxes out with like flies buzzing around. Oh. It was so bad.
Got to give you a heads up on that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was so disturbed.
Where was this?
I don't want to say.
you really want to go back to work there?
Well, the club experience was fun. So, and I don't think they do the condo anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, they might not even have a condo. Like most clubs have just moved off of that, and they're just like, we've got this, you know, either a nice hotel or a shitty hotel, just depending on what's close by and where they can get like the best deal.
Right.
I mean, I've just been like, as soon as I could just say I want a hotel room, that was my jam. Like I haven't stayed in a condo in years. But when I was first starting out, there was, you know, the concept of a condo was fairly new, and in some places they, you know, didn't do it on purpose, but they ended up getting, you know, a really nice condo. Like I, you know, stayed in some really nice ones.
Yeah.
They had a really nice one at the San Diego Improv when that was an existing club down in Pacific Beach in San Diego. And so I just, living in LA, I'd know when comics weren't in the condo, and I'd ask the people who run the club if I could stay there on, you know, on the nights when nobody was in there. And, you know, they let me do that. And it was pretty sweet.
Nice.
It's a good hack.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, cause I was going down to San Diego a lot cause I, you know, was from there originally. So it was, you know, it's just great to be able to just go home, but also not have to stay with my parents, you know, have a place to stay. Plus I perform there a lot and stay in their condo, but it was straight up, like had three floors. Like the headliner stayed up on the third floor, and then the feature act is in the middle floor. And then if the opener wasn't local and needed a place to stay, they would just crash in the living room, you know? And, but it had the top floor also had a jacuzzi. It was crazy.
Whoa.
It was so good. But that club closed. And, like you said, condos aren't really that much of a thing anymore.
Yeah.
Best comedy condo I ever been to was at Comedy Works in Denver last year. That place is sick as hell. Have you been there?
That place is like a real world house.
Dude, it's so fun. It's like that apartment that Tom Hanks had in Big.
Yeah. There's just fun knickknacks everywhere you turn. It's like 2.5 bedrooms, I think.
Big piano?
They don't have a big piano. Probably. They have an Atari, and they have a wall of like little, I would say like maybe 4x4 canvases. And all the comedians who stay there get to paint their own canvas. And so you see all these things, and then there's like a little stand. It's so nice with like a little mini easel and your little wrapped canvas. And there's all these paints and stuff. And so I got to do like my little painting. Wow. And then they hang it up for you. Yeah, that was my favorite place I ever stayed.
What about bunk? Did they have bunk beds?
No. There were just like two big
I'm trying to think about the, you know, big, didn't he have bunk beds?
Indoor trampoline.
And then the woman came over and he's like, she's
the
like,
woman was there.
You want to go to bed?
Yeah.
And he says, I get the top bunk.
Elizabeth Perkins stays there. It's true.
She paints.
It's like the big place in a couple of ways, but then in a lot of ways it's not like it at all.
Okay.
So don't picture it.
There's a fireplace. That's cool.
Yeah, it does. But that's what I was going to say, though, is everywhere you turn is something that you can lift up and physically play with or learn how to play with, like juggling balls or whatever. And just visiting that condo, I was like, oh, this isn't for me. Because I don't need, when I'm on the road, I need to focus and do business and get stuff done. I don't need to, like, you know, play with shit in a condo all day long, you know?
You just want a stark white, like, cube with nothing in it except Wi-Fi.
Well, just a hotel room, you know,
works
pretty good for me. So, like, but it was funny because that condo was so nice that every time they'd offer it up and I'd say, no, I'd rather stay in a hotel, they acted like I was crazy.
It's too fun. Tell them it's too fun.
It's too fun. And also the walls don't go up to the ceiling. So if you're in there with the other act that weekend, you're hearing each other if you're making noises in your bedrooms.
Yeah, I was alone. That, I guess, would be weird. I hadn't thought about that. They got a washer dryer, though, but the sheets also were clean. So it's like double good.
You didn't have to scrub anything when you got in there?
I didn't have to scrub a thing.
No pubes?
No pubes.
Oh, wow. That's pretty nice.
Yep. Yeah.
I think it even says outside the building, pube-free living.
Yeah, it's a pube-free zone. Yeah, that's what I guaranteed. Actually painted on my canvas. I did the red circle with the X, and then I drew a couple pubes.
I might have mentioned this before, but going back to the bad ones for a second, I one time stayed in a condo, and I got in early, and the act the week before was still there, and he was a hypnotist. I got weird about staying with, and he invited me to his show, and I really didn't want to go, but I, for whatever reason, I was just too polite, and I was like, sure, I'll go. I go, it's not fun, and I left after like 15 minutes and slipped to the bar next door, and afterwards, he asked me, why did you leave?
Oh my gosh.
And I was just like, how much validation do you need from me, hypnotist man? And then I was worried he was going to like hypnotize me in my sleep or something and turn me into a chicken.
But what, did you give a white lie?
I don't remember. I think I just, I was so caught off guard because it's like he was watching me watch him. That's so weird.
That's weird.
But I don't know. That's my last hypnotist act, I think, since then. But I think that was a Wichita loony bin. By the way, have you guys done that room?
I don't think I've ever been to Wichita, sadly.
That one's strange because you also have a roommate underneath you in the basement.
You mean another place where they just have somebody living there that's not a comedian?
Yeah. There's someone that like takes care of the house, and she'll like come up and hang out sometimes. I think she works for the club, so it's a little bit better. It's not like completely random, you know, but yeah, she's there sometimes.
That like makes a difference for me between like a situation being okay and a situation being 100% unacceptable, because I'm so introverted that I'm like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. There can't be another person here.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing is there's a lot of clubs I found, you know, especially because comedians, you know, a lot of them have agents, but, you know, many don't. And especially in the opening position or the feature act, you know, you just don't have like any power really. And so sometimes they just really like put you in situations where, and especially for a woman, it must be even worse, where like it's just. You know, it's messed up and they do it so casually and act like it's no big deal. But, you know, my go-to, if I ever was somewhere and I didn't, you know, like the condo or whatever, like the one I was complaining about earlier that had signs telling you how to, you know, clean, and one of the rooms, you know, you're there with somebody else, but one of the rooms has a sheet instead of a door kind of thing.
Right.
One of the bedrooms. So like, you know, I hated that condo so much that I just, you know, paid for a hotel at my own expense every other time I went back to that gig, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Cause I just, it's not, life's too short, you know, and I'm too, you know, I'm tense enough as it is. I don't need to live with a stranger for no reason.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes your comedian roommate, you know, I did the road one time and I was with a buddy that I traveled with from Austin, but the other person was just a not funny comedian and perfectly nice, but it just, I don't know. It made it weird. It made it real weird where it's like, you have to like kind of pretend the whole weekend, like, yeah, your act is great. You know, like, and it was so bad. It was
the whole like, I've been in that situation where you're like,
yeah.
Well, and it's all
so forced.
Yeah.
It's so interesting how much that can throw off like a good two-person dynamic, just the presence of another person, even if they're not being like dominant in the conversation.
Sure.
And you can't even really think of what, like, I was just like, what would I even be saying to this person if this person wasn't here? But it just makes it like you're not even having a good conversation with a cool person now.
Yeah.
I would have liked I would have minded as much sharing spaces with people these days because of the fact that if you bring your own computer and your phone, you've got, and headphones, you've got all the entertainment and everything you need. You can just you could just cut everybody off. Yeah. When I first started, you'd be in a condo with one of the other acts on the show. And you're straight up just doing, you're just around each other all day. And you have to decide what you're going to watch on TV and stuff like that with somebody that you don't know at all. And in a lot of cases, you have little or no respect for their comedy. So then you're just like, oh, I don't even, and then they start giving you advice if you're like a newer comic. And it's like, I don't need advice with somebody that I think sucks.
People will still give me advice. I've gotten advice years into doing stand-up from people who have never done it before or who have done it once. And I'm just like, where do you find the confidence? What would inspire you to tell me what you think?
What makes you think the words you're going to say are of any interest to me?
What makes you think that?
It's a
imagine having the balls to say that. That would be epic.
I can't. And I wish. I think that there's something enviable about having that kind of confidence. I'm like, I wish I could have like a little bit of it without like fully having that lack of self-awareness.
Yeah, that's the trouble is, the people that are, call themselves straight shooters, and I don't censor myself, etc. Well, that's great sometimes, but other times it's the worst. The last person you want to talk to is the person that'll just tell you anything they're thinking.
Right. Yeah. There is a woman who in front of my car today crossed the street so slow when like she had a red light. And I was like, man, it's gotta be nice to like have so little. Cause I've been anxious every day that I've existed on this planet. I'm like, what must it be like to truly just like not care what other people are thinking about you?
I think that's a power play she was doing. Was she on foot or on the car?
Yeah, she was on foot.
Which did she seem like maybe
completely unbothered?
Homeless style person?
No.
Okay, whenever I see that, I think it's like it's like a power trip where they're like, yeah, I'm going to make you wait.
Yeah.
I don't know. She didn't appear to be injured in any way.
It's an unhappy person. It's an unhappy person taking out their unhappiness on the world by like just taking a little bit more for themselves.
Yeah.
It's always the worst. They're crossing slowly, they're texting, and then they look up and make eye contact and you're thinking, oh, they're gonna speed up now, and then they just go right back to being slow and put their head down.
It was a selfish danger assessment and they're like, oh, I'm not gonna get hit. Okay. Back to me.
I end up like doing the move where you honk at them as you're driving away. it's over and I still like mad enough to give them a honk.
Yeah,
well,
that's
when you got to do it. If you're going to do it, a person honked at my friend when he was on his bike once, and my friend stayed on his bike in front of the car while the light turned to red and then biked through the light. It was in Wisconsin, so it was icy. It was in the winter. And this guy honked at him because he wasn't going fast enough. And so like, no. And he did it to stick it to the guy. I like that story. I think he did the right thing.
I've done the backwards honk. I think I actually did it today. Like as you're passing them, like they can hear it behind you somehow.
Yeah. Retro honk.
They got to put horns on the back. They need backwards facing horns,
I like to nostalgia honk.
I try not to communicate my emotions with my honk because that's a slippery slope for me because I'm too emotional to do that. There would be a lot of honking. I try to only honk if it's like life-savingly informative. Like, hey, you're hitting my car if you don't hear this.
That's what it's supposed to be for. I believe it's probably different from state to state, the weird little laws, but in some places it's illegal to use your horn for anything other than, emergency, warning somebody that you're about to hit them or whatever.
Well, many people use it as a doorbell, I've noticed.
Yeah. I'll give a harmless little toot if we're at a green light and it's been green for a good 5 seconds.
It's got to be a long wait. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give them a second. Yeah. Like, okay, you looked at your phone. It's not ideal. You shouldn't have, but you're a person. I'll give you a second to look up.
A tap, the lightest of taps. Beep.
Yeah.
Well, or like a double. You give them the double, the beep.
No, I do a tiny tap because I have like the tiniest horn sound, so it's like really harmless, which is also like a great reason not to use it in anger, because I just lost the fight that even was just me, because it's like ding.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, is that it's funny when like a big angry guy behind the wheel, you know, I like a horn where, you know, when you push it, it'll keep making noise for as long as you hold it down. Now so many horns are like just and that is like hard to do in an angry way, but that's good though, because then you're probably less likely to make the other person angry, because I think that's where a lot of these situations escalate. It's just like being honked at makes you angry, because you just immediately get defensive, and so I just think, you know, also people flipping each other off, that people go to that way too fast, and then when the other person sees it, then they get real worked up, you know.
My wife actually has the best move, and she's the sweetest person and won't talk ill of anyone. But if she's in a situation in LA where somebody's honking and going crazy at her, she will just kind of stop and put a big smile on and wave for a minute. And it makes it, they get so much more angry, and it's fun to watch the frustration. Like, it's almost worse than laying on a heavy honk. It's great.
Oh, I've done that too. Just a big thumbs up.
Yeah. Just a big sarcastic. Oh, yeah. And she'll even yell at them like nice things. She's like, have a great day.
It's so I've done that. Fun to I've watch totally done that.
Yeah. That's fun.
I like when there's someone at the green light and they're, you know, you give them the courtesy honk, like, okay, wake up, look at, it's time to go. And then they're embarrassed. So then they like floor it. So like no one could, they're like so ashamed that they got to get so far ahead of everybody. They're like, oh, okay. And they make up for it. Like,
yeah, that's the right thing to do.
A guy who's like a Time Warner driver called me a bitch out his window because I like pulled into what I still think was a lane. I was turning right and it was on the right, and he disagreed with that choice. Wow. Thought it was not a lane, and he called me a stupid bitch. And I went so far as to write down the license plate number. Sure. And then I looked at it and I was like, I'm not going to give energy to this. I'm not going to give time to this. Like, do I want him to call someone else a bitch next time? No. Am I available to take responsibility for this person's behavior? No. I mean, whatever. So I let it go.
Yeah, there's a lot of those situations where I would, you know, love to just pursue it.
Yeah.
And make trouble for somebody that was just, you know, that was rude to me. But you know, then you're like, well, maybe he just found out that he had cancer right before he called you that.
Right. Maybe he just was having a bad day and doesn't need to get in trouble at work. Maybe he is a total monster and hits kids and does deserve to get in trouble at work. But my life is too short for me to take time out of it to punish people, you know? Yeah.
That guy definitely deserves to be punished, though, I think.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want to follow these people and just be like, what is this person like? Like, I want to have a one-on-one conversation face-to-face out of our vehicles. Just follow them home. Excuse me. I've been following you for 20 minutes. I just want to know, why did you do that? Why is it so loud? Why must you drive like that?
I've been following you for 20 minutes. Would a bitch do that?
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite clear aligners are doctor directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Laura and Doug, have either of you, I already know Doug Mellard's answer to this, but have either of you told a stranger to put their wear their mask properly or suggest that they should get a mask?
No. I have not done that. I think I've actually gotten a few dirty looks because I'm a mask wearer, but I think sometimes when I'm out and about, like going on a hike or something, I won't wear one. And then if I'm approaching someone, I'll put it on. I might've not seen someone, but I've never told anyone. I rarely say anything in situations like that. Sometimes I'll give a look, but
it's hard to do if you have your mask on because right, everybody's just giving each other looks.
You just get that. You just do a like eyebrows up kind of like, you know, it's a body language kind of like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. I've always, you know, I feel like they know already if they're not.
They know.
Wearing a mask.
Yeah. They know. They want that. They want that. They want
very
to
aware.
Know.
They're not, they're like kind of out walking around looking for confrontation or looking for like someone to, you know, make them feel alive.
Exactly.
They never look happy. I tweeted and stand by it that most people that don't wear masks are not attractive people. It seems like the most attractive people are jumping right into masks and figuring out how can I make this match my outfit, and you know, how can I make my, what can I do with my eye makeup because now my eyes are really going to pop, you know.
Yeah, the people that don't want to wear masks are the same people on Twitter that are like trolls and, you know, haters. Yep. They want you to see you react to it. And if you just ignore it, that's how you win, I guess.
I'm just flabbergasted by how strong the opinions are. Like, I posted a picture of me with my friend. We were both wearing masks. We were at an outdoor show. And a guy on Instagram commented, stop posing unnecessarily with masks. I'm like,
oh my God,
what effect does this have on you? Why would you care?
Right. Yeah.
It's like, hey, I'm mad that people are wearing condoms. Like,
like what does it have to do with you?
We're not even taking pictures of that. And, you know,
literally just found out you existed because of this comment. Like, what would possess you? Again, where do you find the confidence to weigh in on any decision I make in my life?
He wants the attention. It's his way of being, maybe he likes you, you know?
He didn't get it. I block and ignore, baby. I block and ignore.
For some reason, there's this kind of desire to get, you know, like, I'm not running around, you know, hoping people that never wear a mask will change their mind and put a mask on. I know that there's a chance they're just going to go through this for, you know, however many years it continues, just continuing to be stupid. Just like there's just people out there doing a lot of dangerous, reckless shit, but you know, most of it, I don't have to come, you know, in contact with, but that's that reaching out to somebody, like I would never, I think about it sometimes when I see a picture on Instagram of a friend of mine where they're clearly like at a social event and the mask wearing is, you know, not happening.
Yeah.
I kind of want to reach out to them and say, hey, why don't you think about not doing that? But then I realize, you know, like the amount of time you'd have to put into that. Out of the 330 million people in the United States, I bet you there's at least 100 million people who just will not wear a mask.
Wow.
You know, they're just not going to do it. They're not going to change the way they live just because, you know, the deep state is telling them to. And it's just, it's frustrating that's like, because if this thing was killing people even more rapidly, I still don't think people would rise up. And I think that would just be it for people. we'd just be done. And there's still going to be more flus and you know, more different viruses that come along that are going to be worse than this one.
Yep. Those same people, like, let's say there was an Armageddon-style meteor coming our way, and we were told, you know, the president says or whoever says, well, if we all wear this special suit, it will divert. Those same people will be like, you don't tell me what to do, you know, like, it's insane.
Depends who the president is, probably.
Yeah, true. Yeah. We posted a picture of our dog on her Instagram page. Wearing a mask. It's just a silly post. It's a picture of herself on the mask. And some guy, a lot of people commented some weird stuff. One guy said, stop posting your leftist agenda to our dog.
Oh my God.
Her agenda is to eat and crap. That's it. And sleep.
Maybe play fetch.
Yeah, some fetch. Oh, by the way, she got skunked last night, Doug.
Oh, man.
It was a whole ordeal.
Did you use the tomato sauce trick?
No, we looked into it, and there's all these other ways that are supposedly better, but she still smells. I slept in the bathroom with her because she couldn't sleep in the bed with us, so I just slept on the floor with her because she thought she was in trouble. It was, like, so, like, heartbreaking.
What are some of the ways to get rid of the smell now? What are the new
white vinegar and soap. We're now using Dawn because it's a grease cutter. There's also just a specific skunk. We're going to take her to a groomer. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
You know what? I'm going to be perfectly honest with you right now. White vinegar is recommended for so many things. I have used it for so many things. I am not convinced it works for anything. I never have tried white vinegar as a solution and been like, oh, cool, that works. I've never had that reaction 100% of the time. And still I try. I tried it yesterday on a coffee stain mixed with dish soap. Did absolutely nothing.
Big vinegar's out there like spreading these lies.
That's one thing I will get passionate about.
Why is it called white vinegar? Why isn't it just vinegar?
Because there's apple cider vinegar, and there's red wine vinegar, and there's balsamic vinegar, and it doesn't get to just be vinegar. You know, why can't those be plain vinegar?
But I would like to say that apple cider vinegar is also, it can cure everything under the sun. Like, there's no way it can do that many things.
No, it can't do any of them. I don't know who its PR person is.
I used apple cider vinegar to remove rust on something, maybe a bike parts, and it worked. So I will say it does do the rust, but I don't know if it does all the health benefits that it claims.
Apple cider vinegar.
So if you physically look at white vinegar, is it whiter than other vinegars?
Well, it's clear. So like,
isn't like vinegar always clear?
No, balsamic vinegar is like almost black.
That's like salad dressing.
Yeah, apple cider vinegar is like orange.
Oh.
Red wine vinegar
is reddish.
It looks like a blush wine. Yeah.
All right.
They're all different colors.
How big of a bottle do you buy of white vinegar?
I'm zooming in on ashamed of how much I know about vinegar. Your average bottle of white's going to run you about 20 ounces. It's like $1.79. It's affordable, but it doesn't work, so it should be, and it doesn't taste good, so there you go.
Yeah, vinegar is always, I've always had a negative connotation with it, except for, you know, when you call it vinaigrette, then
I'm bored. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, then I'm all about it. All right, so Doug Pound, DJ Doug Pound, what's been your experience with knowing other Dougs in your life?
When I encounter one, I am delighted, and it's rather rare. I don't think I have any friends named Doug.
You got two now.
Besides you guys, my new friends here.
Every Doug we talk to we tend not to buddy up with other Dougs. And I think part of it is because I don't think anyone else looks like a Doug. Like, I look at Doug Stanhope or you, Doug, or Doug Mellard, Nobody to me like that looks like a Doug. And I think it's just because I just think of myself as, you know, being what a Doug looks like. And fortunately for all of you, you don't look like me. So
I guess there is no look. Yeah, I guess you're right. And you know, I don't have an aversion to having a Doug friend, but there's just, they just happen to be Andrews, you know, they happen to be, you know, these other, you know, Matts and Tims and things like that.
Yeah. All those other names.
Yeah.
But there are also not, there's not a lot of Dougs to pick from. Like if you're in like a classroom, there's probably three or four Jims and Johns and names like that. You know, they're probably double and triple up, but then you get to Doug and you really are. Do you think that part of the reason we're all comedians and entertainers is because the name Doug makes us already unique in situations because there aren't a bunch of Dougs running around?
Interesting. Yeah. I never thought about that, but there could be something to that. But, you know, speaking of Doug Stanhope, I always wondered if some subconsciously, because his last name sounds like stand up, mm-hmm. you know, did he just think I'm going to be a stand up? Because didn't you hear, have you ever heard the thing about like many dentists are named Dennis? I don't know if that's a true thing, but it's like a subtle, you know, a subconscious thing where he's like, I'm Doug Stanhope. I'm Doug Stand Up, you know, like.
I think that I've discussed this with him because the first time I met him, he was like new and the other comics I was working with, we were working at the Riviera in Las Vegas and we were there together for a whole week, 21 shows. And Doug Stanhope was a new comic. He had long hair and he hosted the shows. It was his first time working this club. And me and the other two comics had not only worked there a bunch of times, but we were just all friends. And so the three of us sort of, you know, we didn't gang up against Doug Stanhope, but we certainly were not, you know, we certainly treated him like how comedians treat each other. And so we really did, by the end of the week, we were calling him Doug Stanhope. but not, you know, it was semi-affectionate, but it was also a little insulting, you know, change his last name to Stanhope. But that sort of became his nickname for us. And then, you know, years later, he emerged as this amazing comedian and, you know, now he's worshipped by
Now he's friends with Johnny Depp and the rest of his history.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And the rest of us are not. Me and those other comics are not friends with Johnny Depp. So Doug Stanhope definitely won. But like one night he showed up late and he was the MC and this is where the story gets really crazy. The club, the comedy club at the Riviera Hotel used to be run by the head maitre d' there, was Steve Sciarippa, who went on to play what's his name on The Sopranos?
Not Pauly.
The reason he was cast to be in The Sopranos is because he already had the attitude and was already like he was like, you did not want to cross him. Like I've seen him get mad at other comedians and it was very ugly whenever it would happen. So I have seen Steve Sciarippa from The Sopranos chewing out Doug Stanhope, which is not a thing anybody else in the world is privileged to have seen.
It was
terrifying and hilarious at the same time. Because Steve used to be like, when you come in, he'd go, oh, you know, you're getting this much time. When you get the signal, you get off, you don't go long, you don't, you know, he just like rattle off all these rules. And one of them was he's very specific about how much time you did. And, you know, it's legendary that he said this because I don't necessarily believe it's true, but it's still great if it is. He would say, you're doing 10 minutes. Not 10 minutes and 1 second, not 9 minutes and 99 seconds.
Wow. That sounds really difficult to get down to the second where you can't even get off 10 seconds early.
That's insanely unreasonable.
He would give you a light. And then if you were still on stage at the mark where you're supposed to be off, he would just pick up lamps that were sitting around in the back of the room and wave them around. Like he was really, he'd be so aggressive that the whole audience would know that he's trying to get the.
Like you just finish up mid setup. Like you're trying to squeeze one more joke in and then you just like walk away. Yeah. No, you don't even say goodbye. Thank you. You just like walk off.
That'd be a real dumb move to try to finish the bit. You just have to say thank you, good night, and run off stage. And then, you know, chances are a Vegas crowd isn't even going to care that you just left in the middle of a joke.
True.
I mean, where could that come from? that need for someone set to be so perfectly
because he was running
because of his boss.
I apologize for not painting the whole picture. He was running three showrooms at the same time.
Oh my god.
He was running this he was running Crazy Girls, the stripper show. He was running I forget what it was called at the time, but there was a drag show that was hosted by a guy who would host it as Joan Rivers and the stand-up show. So he had to be in each room when the seating was happening, because he was the guy whose palm you had to grease for a good seat. And if nobody tipped him, the best seats in the room in a packed house would just go empty out of spite because nobody tipped him extra for better seats. Wow. And then when someone would try to move into one of the booths, like mid-show, like, oh, that booth's empty, I'll go sit over there, kick him right out. It was amazing. It was another time. For sure. And speaking of time, we are almost out of it. This has gone by so quickly. Let's quickly plug anything that we've got going on, especially social media, since we're not really doing live shows that much. Laura Bites, how do people find you?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Laura Bites, LARABEITZ. And I'm also going to be at the Irvine Improv this Saturday doing a drive-in show, which should be really fun.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to get into doing one of those later in the month in Irvine, because the Irvine Spectrum, where the Irvine Improv is, has this giant parking structure that they just take the roof and build a stage and a screen. So it looks like a drive-in movie, but on the top of a parking structure, and sounds like it's like they're doing a great job with it. Like it's very safe and fun.
Yeah.
And, so go see Laura Bites this Saturday, October 3rd, if you're in the Irvine. If you're down below the orange curtain, go see Laura.
Oh, and I'm going to be in, I'm doing a show in Anaheim on a rooftop. The place is called Fifth on the 7th.
7th of October?
Yes.
All right. Go to the 5th on the 7th. That's easy to remember. or very difficult. DJ Doug Pound, what's your socials?
You can find me at Doug Pound, DOUGGPOUND on Twitter and Instagram. I do a lot of videos and stuff on Instagram. I have
hilarious, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I do. I do a podcast with Tim Heidecker. It's called Office Hours with Tim Heidecker. Every Thursday, we do it live on YouTube, and they're all on YouTube. And I also do the Poundcast, which is my show. So that's about it. I don't really have any live shows. I kind of have been weaning off the Zoom shows, lately. So.
It's just not your mood, or you feel like you'd rather just get back out there in person when that.
I find them not that fun to do.
Yeah, I get it.
Even though I bring my own laugh track and stuff, but actually, I'm going to do one coming up in a few weeks with Max and Nikki Weinbach, Brent Weinbach's twin brothers. I'm going to do their show in a couple of weeks. The date is escaping my mind, but look out for that.
Oh, that sounds fun. I'm doing my first like stand-up headliner set this Saturday, October 3rd at 4:20 Pacific time. So you can see me and then go see Laura in the same night. And I'm doing a long set of mostly new material, and joining me doing guest sets will be Jeff Tate, Dustin Ibarra, and Amy Miller. I think they've all been on this show. Yeah, they have. And even though none of them are named Doug. And they will, they'll be there and I'll be there. That's at rushtix.com, RUSHTIX.com. It's the last time you'll be hearing about me promoting this particular gig on this podcast. So go ahead and get your tickets, because it's only 2 days away. And Doug Mellard, what do you got going on besides your dog getting criticized on social media?
Well, I've got the new album on Stand Up Records coming out next month, November 20th, Fart Safari 3, Fart Hard with a Vengeance. It's real silly. And then I haven't really been talking about this yet, but I'm going to put some fire under me. I'm recording another, like a quarantine album in 16 days. And so that won't be released for a minute, but it's my first show, my first live show back. It's going to be here in Santa Fe for like a very, very tiny distance crowd.
What, like in a backyard or something?
Yeah, we're going to do it just, literally in the backyard and for a tiny, tiny crowd. And it should be fun.
All right, we can talk about it more next week.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, because, you know, as the details come in, we'll share them with everybody. I'm curious to know if anybody lives in or near Santa Fe that listens to this podcast.
Right.
We will root them out. That's it, I guess. We got to think of a clever, I guess, something about Doug Pound would be a good, clever pun for this.
Pump Doug.
What?
Remember this?
I'm Doug.
Remember that sketch?
Oh, yeah.
Upright Citizens Brigade, maybe? Or
the state.
The state. Maybe that was the state.
Yeah.
I'm Doug, and I'm out of here.
And I'm out of here.
I'm Doug, and I'm out of here is what he would say?
Yeah.
I think so.
Doug.
Yeah.
I got many Dougs.
That's what we're going to do. I'll close with that. Thank you to Laura Bites and DJ Doug Pound and Doug Millard. And as always, wait, how'd it go again? I'm Doug, and I'm out of here.
Got it.